Certainly, we want to say thanks for that, Walter Clark, and tell you that we are strong in support of your activities. As a whole, throughout our professions, and it has a group of 200,000 more people. You've got individual bankers, you've got people along the line on either extreme. We try to keep them under the umbrella of the American Medical Association. We're doing a very good job. Actually, we're bringing them back.
Better than have them on the umbrella and running out like a bunch of jackasses and making fools of themselves, too. You know?
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. We are very appreciative of your first term in office, and as you know, we have supported you all along, and we are going to continue to support you because we believe in your philosophy. Both domestically and foreign policy.
Let me get directly to the thing that I know you want to discuss, as I have obviously. First, let me indicate to you my views about controls, my philosophy, the word which I'm against them. I don't believe in controls. It was one of the terribly difficult decisions to have to impose those ceilings on meat prices. It had to be done, Arthur, because they were just going, frankly, hog wild, cow wild, lamb wild. It's one of the circumstances we had to put a ceiling on. And fortunately, we did it at the time. The housewife boycott had already brought the prices down some, so maybe this will help. But if we hadn't put it on, you would have had the labor unions then making unconscionable demands for increased wages. And then that would have set off a new wage price spiral in a few places other than food, so we had to have a bargaining chip in there. But I want you to know that as far as this is concerned, that my own views with regard to controls, price controls, etc., are that this country's better off without them. The best control is the market. The best, as I said, look at even food prices in the West. The strongest enforcer, as far as food prices is concerned, is the housewife. The housewife can determine what she's going to buy and so forth. And she decides she's going to get strawberries in the house season and they're going to sell. Same is true about other things. Now, it's a hard thing to tell her, however, the old man wants meat on the table every night, and she's going to go buy it. But be that as it may, I believe in the free markets. In the law of supply and demand, and all of the things that are considered to be sort of out of fashion these days. I think it's true also in your profession. I know the medical profession. I know your costs have gone up enormously. I know, too, that price ceiling on this thing. One, did you feel it's wrong? I mean, that it's too stretched. therefore.
Oh, let me clarify.
Yeah, you go ahead, Tom.
My position is this. We are wholeheartedly in favor of your program of controlling inflation and the economy. No question about that. As long as we are in the midstream and treated as like everyone else. And in the first and second phase, we were given restrictions to the subcommittee and the council. We took it upon ourselves on a voluntary method, not required by anything that had been passed, but the Board of Trustees took action to disseminate information to all of our people and tell them that we wanted them to hold costs and prices down, which they did, illustrated by the fact that the percentage dropped from 8.1 to 2.4 in 2 year period. It's the best, actually, according to the data we have. The thing that I say now, in setting up the original discussion in regards to this, we came into a conflict with the committee originally, and that is that they divided positions into two groups. The institutional providers were set up under one category, and the non-institutionals are outside practitioners on the other category. We objected to this, but we took it in our stride and helped in every way we could to control it. You made a statement that I want to be sure if I leave nothing else with you today, I'll get this to you. It's very important to my mind. There is health care, and there is medical or physician care, which are two animals in the same pen. But the doctor himself, in his price, is the one that's been controlled. The health care given to the institutions is where your price remains at a high level. Now, we talked to Secretary Weinberg about this, and he understands the fact that there is a differential between the two areas. If you separate the physicians from the health care program, which is the overall program, then you find that we've been discriminated again because of several factors. The small business was taken out from it. The institutional position was taken out from under it. Then we were restricted in problems within our own practice. You took all the others out, the legal profession, all of the dentists, but other professional people, the horses and architects and those were taken out. They have, and I'm going to leave this draft with you, and I have another document that's on the way over. It wasn't quite finished. It's all right at the office, and I want to leave it with you.
I got the 3 o'clock.
Good. The fact is that these features of why we are being apologetic to our members right now are the fact that we have been in a discriminatory fashion. And when I spoke to Mr. Rumsfeld back in December, I left him some of the same documents and showed the same evidence. The fact being that we felt then that equalization we would accept without any hesitation. Minimal controls, which you have already expressed this morning that you're not in favor of controls, minimal controls cannot affect our organization's structure. We are in favor of working with them. But when the phase three came through, we were discriminated again, and immediately we have uprisings from our state societies, we're federation of societies, our county societies, the dissident groups of union, and other groups that are trying to create a disruption in our program. So what we're trying to do, and we need advice from you and from the administration, is some character on this phase three program, or if you're going to keep controls on, give us some relief for some of these areas that we refer to in this document, the three that I mentioned. Another illustration. In my own office, last 2 weeks, we've lost two girls that have been with us, 1 6 years and 1 3.5 years. Key people within the office, because they could not get a raise, but they could go outside and get a job with another firm at $200 more a month than we're paying them, and we only can increase their salaries 5.5. This is hurting us. The other factor is there are many doctors that have gone into groups, $5 salary. They've been working 2 years and a half under this basis and no increase in income other than 5.5%. Where today a doctor moves in and he stays 3 years, he's on equal partnership in the group. But this is impossible in the present. So we're getting discriminated against in 3 or 4 areas. That if we can get any of these carrots back to us, then we can continue to do a job of educating our people that we've got to keep costs under control. Now, I've spoken only in one phase, and that is the physician costs. The thing that you and the council are really interested in, controlling health care costs. The 80% of the total budget for health is health care, that's institutional care. Now, we as doctors can help, but the doctors right now are not in any frame of mind to help. A frame of mind to help.
You can help on that, though.
We can help a tremendous amount. We can do lots of things. We can help with PSRO, which we took a positive stance on last fall after it was put into effect. In Cincinnati, we set up a task force to go all out to make this thing go. And the only way it can go is by physician support, because physicians are the party responsible. Now, the doctors today in this country began to say, why should we do a PSRO? We got kicked in the mouth with phase 1, 2, and now 3. Well, let's see what the administration is going to tell us. And I tell them that my relationship has been excellent with Secretary Richardson, with the members of your staff during the last 2.5 years. We've had wonderful rapport, and I want to keep it that way. And I appreciate it.
But you've got constituents that are
that are raising hell right now.
After we meet, you ring your meeting. Dunlop. Is he around?
Yes, he is.
I worked him all half the night last night. You met, you know Dunlop?
I have not met him.
First-class
correspondent.
First-class man. He's a great, great expert. He's doing decent fall. And he will listen to him, get all the facts and so forth. Now, second point.
Already from 1974. But our people are saying we We don't want to do anything as far as committing ourselves to anybody for 6 to 8 months until we see what's going to happen to pay
our bills.
And they're very concerned about the phase three because it is disrupting us. The union people, some individuals are forming unions of what they're saying.
Union of doctors.
Union of doctors. There are two different groups. Some that belong to the AFL-CIO, some that are going alone as the own unions. And they say they have 25,000 members. I doubt this very much, but nevertheless, they have enough to get the voice of the press and the television to disseminate information that we aren't doing anything in Washington to help the position. But we as union members will be in position to do something because we're going to strike. Well, we don't want any part of this area to happen whatsoever, but if we don't get something to stop this rabid rampage, it started primarily in the state of California and Florida and in Nevada. So we have some real formative activities going on that create problems for us. We as a board, and I as chairman, want to support you 1,000%. We have to look at this thing, though, that we can get something to give us some real firm evidence to take back to our constituents. We're going to have problems. Already there are 10 resolutions on phase three from the various states coming in for our meeting in June. So we have
all right. Well, look, we understand we're on the same wavelength. We have to. We understand the political problem.
Yes.
We're fighting the same battle. Let's try to be as understanding as we can. Working on it. You talked to him a month ago. Has he already had this matter before him yet or not?
He's had correspondence with the association.
Correspondence.
Just begun to look at the statistics.
But he hasn't. What has he done? He has not then, however, looked at this situation in detail yet. Is that right?
Yes.
Fine. Can you arrange a meeting?
Yes, sir. I will.
And then report back to me.
Yes, sir.
As to what the situation is, and as a matter of fact, we're getting heat. You know, folks are getting heat. Some people that say phase three is too tough, and we're getting heat. A lot of people that say it's tough enough. So it's you're always got that.
If you look at the actions that we have overall, maybe this round, and I'll give you that this all services, the legal and green, has been up higher. The bank, the semi-private room, institution of care is up way up there. Medicine is down here right now. The lowest in this category.
Oh, I think the medicine thing is one of the we've been bragging about it.
Oh, yeah.
We've been bragging too much. I'm afraid we got you all.
It is a fact of bragging, but it's a fact of recognizing the real factors, and yet they're coming around to see that we're not getting some relief.
Put this in the other.
I'll get it to us over.
Don't worry. I'll get it. I won't be able to read it today. But as soon as you get it over, get it from my get it. If you don't get it this afternoon,
it'll be days. It's here before you.
Yeah, and if not, what I'm encouraging. Well,
I appreciate the opportunity.
I wish you the best.
We can talk about a lot of other things, but this is the prime interest.
Well, you've got your job to do, and you've done it. And I just want you to know, for you, one thing I tell these problems, you know, it's really disgusting for these people, and I say this about everything that's happening, for these people to come in, they raise hell about the cost of medicine and everything. And they say, you have to be great, we have a different system. I said, look, I've been all over the world. I said, when somebody's really sick in England or any other country where they've got socialized medicine and they can afford it, where do they come for their operations? They come to the United States. Now, we got the best medical care in the world. You know it, and I know it. We got the best doctors in the world. Now, the thing is that we don't want to have a system. This is another subject. This is why we've got to fight this. I don't want to have a system that, in terms of getting increase. And the costs, shall we say, bar properly. I don't want to have a system that's going to impair the quality. It's the quality of care that makes it why we're most in, because it is ingested. It is ingested. I'm so sorry. Look, it isn't great that you just have something you've got free medicine. Not much is good. The other thing, anyway, not much free. The other thing is they say it'd be, the important thing is that you'll be able to afford it out. You should be able to go to the doctor. That is the most important. The important thing is, that when you got the dough to get that doctor, you want a doctor that can take care of it. I mean, that's what's important. And so many of these attempts to leapfrog for that thing say, gee, let's just say medical care is the right of every person, and it should be at a certain amount. Well, you've got these highly trained people that have got to do the job. Believe me, they don't have to do the work unless they get paid after. That's what it gets down to.
You don't have to do it.
It gets down to
really.
You could just work in my market. You could be just a bunch of, just selfish as the next one.
We are.
So my feelings are very strong on that. They just breathe in. But
let me echo the remark you made about quality and the way we recognize worldwide. I just got back from Israel in the place 2 weeks ago, last month. There's no question about that Europe feels the same way, and they don't understand about us as physicians, qualities here. We know there are weak spots, but we don't want to erase the excellency of this program in this country by making a new program of indoctrination and new decisions of healthcare delivery completely turning over a place to get quantity and not maintain our quality. We've got areas that we're trying to improve.
We are sure.
We are.
Don't let it look, as I said, we're all fighting the same battle. But don't get in a position where the demagogues up here are able to put the aid of man in a position of being the rich, strong doctors and so forth saying the hell with the public. You don't want to do this. I mean, it's not true. It's not a fair charge. But you know these people.
I'm aware of this problem. We're trying to maintain the equilibrium.
I remember one of your predecessors, many, many years ago, was one of my very active supporters in 1960 in Florida.
Yeah, and
so, tell you, he was a little liberal.
Well, I tell you, I know he was supported way back too. You came to North Carolina in 60, I was right there in Greensboro when you tried.
Yeah,
he was great enough.
Now, where did you go to school? Where did you take your work?
Well, I took my undergraduate work at Elon, but I was
Elon, I was
at Duke the same time you were, and we actually followed it.
Did you go to the medical school
at Duke? Yes. I was there at the same time you were. I was living in Dormitory B. I think you and all the graduate students are living in the same area, I recall.
You know, isn't it still a good medical school?
Yes, it's one of the top 10 in the country.
Is it?
Top 5, I'd say, probably 3. It's just lower.
Oh, I remember we used to sit in the steps of the law school and watch the nurses walk by.
Well,